You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey, look, we've all been there. Stress from work, restless nights, your mind racing when you're trying to wind down. What if I told you there's a natural way to feel calmer and to sleep better? That's where CBDFX comes in. And let me tell you, they've got this figured out. They've got something for everyone, from sleep gummies to CBD capsules and topicals. Take their CBD and CBD night capsules, for example. These are designed to help you fall asleep quickly and stay asleep throughout the night. They contain CBN, what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid, plus other natural sleep aids. And their original mixed berry CBD gummies have actually won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards. They provide gentle, calming effects that boost your overall well-being with a delicious natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been around since 2014, so they know what they're doing. Everything's made right here in the USA with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, plus third-party lab reports back everything up. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my listeners can get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX.com. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Here we go, kids.
Utah, people working together.
Utah,
what a great place to be. Blessed from heaven above. It's a land that we love. This is the place. Utah.
It is a place that I'm going to love seeing for the first time in a while. I've been there once, Charge. But 2 weeks and counting now until I am soiling your towels in your baths. And I mean in a non-disrespectful way. Just drying off after a shower. Soiling. That's what
I
mean.
That's it? Okay. Not in some kind of freakish nocturnal emissions way.
No, they won't be crusty. Right. Let me put it that way. No crust.
All right, good.
Good.
All right, yeah, we'll take damp. Damp's better than crusty towels for sure.
So I blew up
about that.
I blew up Church's phone this weekend because there was a local tie-in to the PGA Tour Fall Series event at the new Tom Weisskopf design up there in Ivins, Utah, southern Utah
right
area.
Right outside St. George.
Right outside St. George. And it was won by a kid whose basement, or his parents' basement, I was literally in no less than 38 minutes ago, if you can believe it.
No way. That. So you were just there.
I was just there. At Michael Brennan's basement with his dad, and we were talking about the win, and because, you know, the guy that does the golf show with me, John Ronis, is very close to his family and has been Michael's unofficial sort of coach. Doesn't really coach his swing, but he's known him since he was a kid. And so he's got a great relationship, and because of that, we were able to get an interview, and we taped it in his basement, and he was fantastic. But I'm blowing your phone up going, dude, this kid from right down the road here where I live in Leesburg is about to win this tour event and then skip the entirety of the KFT, the Korn Ferry Tour, and go right to the bigs.
Yes.
It's like going from single A to the majors. It was awesome for him, and he's so grounded as a kid, as a dude. But he's a great golfer. And then you declared it over at one point. Like, it's over. He's going to win. I'm like, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
Keep in mind, he was up by 5 strokes on the 16th hole. So I think I think it was pretty safe. I think it was pretty safe at that point. And the kid's unflappable. I mean, he led that event for several days, correct?
I think wire to wire, or at least the last 3 days. Close. He took the lead and just never let it go. Yeah.
I loved that course is beautiful. You get to see all of Western St. George, and it is just gorgeous out there. That course is damn nice. Black Desert.
Well, and the resort that's with it is high end as well. I'm going to try to get us on there. Yes. No promises, because, you know, I'm just a schmuck. I'm a podcast schmuck from a faraway land where nobody knows who I am. But maybe if I say to the pro out there, hey, bro, I know the guy that just turned your course into a pitch and putt. How about a free media round for the effort?
That would be, now if it's free, I'm particularly interested. Oh, I asked we're my not, neighbor about getting
not,
on that.
We're course. Not playing it, paying it. No, no, no. I mean, what's the point
certainly.
Of?
Certainly. Oh, certainly not.
What's the point of being in the media without being able to schnore something for free? That's the whole goal.
That's why you get into the media. Now, his dad got a ton of TV time. You know, they were trying to find a lot of angles. When you are your wire-to-wire leader, they start running out of storylines, repeating themselves. And mom and dad, I thought, acquitted themselves very nicely on TV.
Yeah, no, they're salt of the earth people. So kind of cool. I mean, winning a PGA Tour event, it's not the most exclusive club. There's a whole bunch of guys that can claim, yeah, I once won a PGA Tour event. Hell, there's like 50 of them a year.
Nothing with it.
Right. Yep. And like, I was on tour once. Yeah. Well, what'd you do? Kind of like guys who have made the majors in baseball. If they can say I was on a major league roster, that is still reaching a super high pinnacle of the sport that you're in. I have mad respect for it. Like, I sometimes respect the jobbers more than I do the stars, because I feel like they're more everyday people that reached a very high height in what they do. Does that make any sense?
Now, yeah, though, that makes a ton of sense. I would say somebody winning, well, just getting on the PGA Tour is a bigger athletic accomplishment than getting to the major leagues in baseball, because baseball's got bigger. It's got bigger rosters. You can go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, with the tour, once you get your card, you're locked in for the year, right? And that has not changed since I recall, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Although they have a shorter list. They have a shorter list of guys with status, and some of the guys in the bottom couple rungs of having their tour card, they don't automatically get into every event. And then there's another cut of elevated events that have a limited field, and that's where the big money is, no cuts. So getting into those is where you can really do some financial damage.
Yeah. Well, and this is what's great about the PGA, right? Is there's very little guaranteed. You've got to be good enough to keep your card. You can do sponsor exemptions. That's how Brennan got on the field at all, was a sponsor exemption.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you got to earn your keep on the PGA Tour every year. You got to go out there and battle. Those guys who are at the bottom are out there week after week. They don't skip events. They are out there grinding to keep their card.
Well,
I just love all the merit.
Used to be even worse. Now a lot of people are complaining that the way the tour is repositioning itself, the stars are pulling up the ladder by voting for more and more exclusive events, and a way in which if you were ever good at all once, it gets hard to fall out of the top whatever on the PGA Tour. And there's just so many great golfers out there. Like, first of all, there's no guarantee that young Michael Breddon's career will ever see another win. I would bet that he'll win again because he's that talented and he's gotten the taste of it. But there's no guarantee because there's tons of dudes who are super good. There's kids who are super good. There is a kid at his club, which is the local, very humble private club closest to where I live, Loudon Golf and Country Club. And there's a kid that just signed to play for Auburn, which is the number one golf program in the country. Number one collegiate program. And he signed with Auburn, even though he grew up in Leesburg, Virginia, because they paid him the most NIL money. Now, I don't know exactly how much, but I know that he was paid to go to Auburn. Now, this kid is super legit as well and has finished very high in some USGA amateur events. And many are saying, oh, he's got tour potential and then some. And I would be willing to bet that this kid has beaten Michael Brennan at this humble little private course a number of times. But the reason I know this is this kid's name is Logan Riley. He is the son of Terry Riley, who is the agent for Michael Brennan and was standing next to mom and dad on the 18th hole on Sunday in Utah.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I love that our worlds collided unexpectedly with my local elite golf course, your connections to Michael Brennan. That was a very, very fun moment on Sunday, which otherwise was a major bummer for me because of the loss of my Survivor roster. I need to tell you this story, Zabe.
Okay, I want to hear the story, but real quick, if you listen to any of the broadcast of this really nondescript end of the season, rump end PGA Tour event, the announcers on the Golf Channel were blowing Southern Utah. They were loving it, talking about going on hikes. They had the picture of that cave that I sent you, whatever that vagina looking cave is up in the buttes down there. And they were talking about all the different resorts and courses that have been developed. The money is coming in to that corner of the state. You know it because you're now a new resident. Where is it coming from, real quick?
Well, it's coming from California. So what's happening is, you know, obviously California is losing the most people out of any state. And you sell your house, your modest home in California for $2 million, and then you come to St. George, where you love golf.
And buy a mansion.
Surrounded by a golf course. And you buy a mansion for $2 million. Yeah. That's right. You've got, you know, you're sitting on, you know, 3 acres and you've got a gorgeous mansion. It's a great way to go. The locals here don't love the influx of Californians and the money because everything is starting to cost more.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's
you can't stop it though. I asked you, said though, is it red money or is it blue money? Because a lot of times when the blue money comes into states, whether it's Colorado or Austin, Texas, they keep on voting for the same dumb shit that made them flee California. If California was just two clicks less batshit liberal and less batshit onerous in regulations, taxation, restrictions, and everything else, that money wouldn't leave California. California is the most amazing state in terms of its geography, its different regions, its weather, the industry that can be had and done from tip to top. It's crazy. But they're leaving because they're like, I can't fucking stand it anymore. So they go into places like Utah and Nevada and Texas. But you say it's a lot of red money.
Dance.
There is red money coming in.
Yeah. Well, it is mostly, not entirely. There's this dance that the locals do with you when they find out you've come from a blue state like Minnesota.
Oh, and do tell.
There's this, what drew you to Utah? And then, you know, they're trying to find out, are you bringing votes with you? And if so, which side?
That's
are you
great.
A refugee from or California or Minnesota?
Or a settler?
Or are you bringing?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you a refugee or a settler? They want to know that. And your answer to that should have been, you know, what brought you here? You should have said, well, it's the openness of the LGBTQ plus LIA BIPOC community and our support of marginalized communities. That's why we're here. And then watch their faces.
That would not go great here, honestly.
Oh, my God. All right. So anyway, let's get to your survivor story. And before I do, it was the worst week in the NFL in maybe 50 years. The last time there was a Sunday in which there was only one game that finished within 10 points of a final score, 1970. You add on to that, the Thursday game was a blowout well beyond 10 points, and Monday was a blowout as well. So let me count the ways. I put this out on Twitter. Worst week in over 50 years in the NFL. Check. Light bag with 6 byes. That's the first thing going against week 8.
Yep.
Agree?
Yep.
Only one game closer than 10 points. 6 games were 20-point blowouts. 7, actually, when you count Monday night. It was extremely chalky. The favorites went 11-2. Pittsburgh's uniforms, abomination. The Ravens lying blatantly about their injured quarterback. And then maybe the biggest blow, everyone's favorite, Cam Scataboo, going down with a Theismann-like injury. Worst week in 50 years yet? Well, I'll see you Thursday for week 9.
See, that's right. We'll see you Thursday night.
See you Thursday.
Nobody really cares. Yep. With Scataboo, I'm in real time watching it. And I, of course, I didn't happen to notice his foot, but you saw the defenders around him jump up and start waving in the medical staff like Theismann. And you're like, oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
When the defenders want you to bring on the medical crew instantly, something bad has gone down. And that was it with Cam Scatter.
So how is it that your Circa Survivor Pool entry, which cost $1,000 American cash on the barrelhead, you have to be there in person to enter, no proxy enters.
That's right. Yes.
And were they first place of several million dollars, right?
18 million.
Oh, yes. That's quite a few severals. Yes. How on earth did it go down in a week in which there were only 2 underdogs that covered?
So I split my entry with 2 other people. My Fantasy Football Weekly co-host, Brian Johnson, who some listeners here to your podcast will know from Fantasy Football Weekly or CHOP. He helps me there too. And then another friend that that nobody listeners will know. So all week they're on Atlanta and I'm battling them on Atlanta. I'm like, don't do Atlanta. Don't do Atlanta. I don't like the way that this team's playing the offense. And then Penix gets ruled out. I'm like, we can't do Atlanta. They're like, Doc, Kirk Cousins will be fine. It's the Dolphins. They're playing the Dolphins. It's going to be okay.
And you, like me, are a noted Kirk jerk. So you're very Kirk positive, and you were still saying, don't like it. Don't do it.
Don't like this thing. It's got trapped. Don't do it. And I was making my case. And so
what was your preference?
I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Sorry.
That's all right. On Friday, we have to lock our picks. Our proxy, we didn't pay our proxy the extra money to be able to lock picks on Saturday morning. We lock picks. The game locks Saturday, mid-afternoon. You can pay for 2 levels of service with your proxy runners who have to do, put your entries in from Nevada. And so we have the Friday option. So because we're cheapskates, I guess. So all week I'm battling these guys. Don't do Atlanta. Don't do Atlanta. Friday comes and they pick Atlanta and I lose 2-1.
Okay. Hold. Okay. So there was an actual official vote. You guys settle your disputes via a, okay. All right. So you lose.
Yep.
All right.
Democratic vote. And we get to about early third quarter and the Falcons are clearly going to lose. It's already a landslide and they got nothing. I mean, they got the stench of death on them. And so I start cocking off.
Oh, and I can imagine you start running. I would run my mouth. Way to go, Atlanta fuckers.
Yep. You too. Yep. I'm showing as much restraint as I can.
Cause these are your friends and colleagues.
Right. I like both of these guys.
I mean, they're good ex-friends, still colleagues for
former
now.
Former friends. That's right. That's right. And in that moment, the team that I had tried to get them all week to go on is up by 15 points. And I'm texting them and I'm cocking off. I got the Bengals.
No.
I spent all week working on them to get to take the Bengals.
And they both went down.
They went down, oh, man, did they light me up after that?
Oh, yeah.
When the Jets came back, they let me have it. So
as Michael Scott would say, look how the turntables.
Look how the turntables. And honestly, it's probably for the best save. So we were going to lose either way, right? So, you know, I'm glad the Bengals lost because I would have been dying inside. Like running out the rest of the scenarios every week. I'd have gone here. I'd have gone here. I'd have gone here. We had an incredibly valuable, we had taken the teams we had chosen were only 500 to this point. We still had every good team left basically.
So you had a lot of good ammunition left in the bag, but that's the fun of Survivor right there. All right. Here's the office clip, by the way.
I'm good. Hello.
Hi.
Michael Scott Paper Company to see Mr. David Wallace. I believe we're expected. Well, well, well. How the turntables.
One of my favorites. Well, just for the record, those that don't know, a proxy is an actual flesh and bones human. Actual money to physically stand and enter a pick on behalf of your syndicate. And they do this.
They can do it.
They require this because why?
This is a game that is licensed by the state of Nevada. So that means that the entry has to be in the state of Nevada and all of your submissions. Weekly submissions have to be in the state of Nevada. So if you can't do it yourself, you have to have a formal proxy that does it for you. So it's state of Nevada law, and or at least this game's law. And I think that it would probably be that way everywhere.
All right. I would like to do a second half of the year, second chance survivor pool. Would you be into doing that if I hobbled together 10, 15, 20 people?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
It's
still hard to run the table halfway through the year when you've already seen how shit some of the teams are.
Yeah. Can I just vote against the Vikings every week?
Oh, man. You had the most witheringly sarcastic tweet, which was, don't worry, it'll get better against the Lions.
Right.
And people were like, wait, is there there's an emoji for sarcasm? Like, what? You're kidding, right? What? Why would it get better against them?
It's the Lions. It's not going to. Narrator, it's not going to get better against the Lions.
It's it's grim. And then, of course, there's the whole Wentz side story. I want to read this into the record, then you can chime in. Herbie the love bug, the guy who cried when his dog died on TV, the guy who also cried after the George Floyd riots, suddenly is against crying when a quarterback has a left arm that is shattered and tattered and is getting beat to hell and is coming out of the game knowing probably with full certainty he has played his last NFL game. Don't you dare show any emotion. Even though I don't know if Herb Street criticized Justin Fields for admitting that he cried during the week in his own closet because he was just overwhelmed with something, emotion. Didn't say he was sad. It was just a lot of things he was processing. So suddenly in this one case, Herb Street was going to be the emotion and the language police. He got so much shit online from it, including from me, that he felt like he had to defend himself. Somebody said Carson Wentz played with a dislocated elbow that tore his labrum and fractured the socket for over two games. You're a clown. Oh. And then the clown emoji. That one always stings, by the way. Getting that clown emoji hit right in your clown eye emoji. Online. Ow. Herb Street, quote, I talked the entire game about how impressive it was that he was playing through a lot of pain and mentioned several times how mentally and physically tough he was. All I said was he can't throw his helmet and it was a bad look. That's it. Doesn't take anything away from all the great things we said about him that night. Yes, it does. Because that was the last thing you said about him. So it did take away everything. Nobody remembers that. And it was a shit take. Own the shit take, apologize for it, and say, you know what? It came off wrong, and I'm sorry, because he clearly was in a lot of pain. Herb Street's the worst. The floor is yours.
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, God bless Carson Wentz for making it through that game. He was, the offensive line for the Vikings is just completely shattered. And it was a disaster, and he's out there. And now it's his non-throwing shoulder, but still, listen to, it's a, dislocated shoulder, torn labrum, broken socket. Is that what you said? Fractured socket?
Yeah. I mean, there's like three things. There's like three things wrong with it. It's fucking busted to shit. That whole arm, everything from the wrist on up.
Kevin O'Connell's taken a fair amount of heat for not changing quarterbacks at some point in that game. Now, they could have gone to J.J. McCarthy, but he was third stringer. Second stringer guy was Max Brosmer, the rookie from Minnesota, the Gopher.
What's up, Brosmer?
Bro. He's actually a very intriguing talent, and I'm really interested in what he might be able to do, and I'm not just saying that as a Gopher fan. He looks like he's got NFL backup caliber talent, and the Vikings protected him. Kevin O'Connell protected him behind that line and wouldn't put the backup in and let Carson Wentz just take all that damage. At one point early in the game, I tweeted Zabe about exactly that. I'm like, at this point, just let Carson Wentz take all the hits and let's save Brosmer. But I didn't know he was going to get killed back there at the time. And I felt bad about tweeting it.
You know, you're allowed Wentz to punt on first down. I checked the rules. No one's really done it before, but you're allowed to punt on first.
God, they almost
just make the just they make the defense. Should've. So is the season effectively over?
It for the Vikings season, I think it's 90% likely over, and unless it turns out that J.J. McCarthy is simply great and the offensive line comes together, because this feels like a old, slow, tired roster offense and defense. And it's not going to get better, because the Vikings general managers whiffed on four straight drafts. For the most part, there's just no young talent, upcoming talent on this Vikings roster. So
do you think Ziggy will fire him this winter?
I do.
Okay. Yep.
And they just extended him. And I don't know why teams do this. Why do teams extend coaches and general managers who are in the last years of their deals when they haven't proven a damn thing? Teams do it all the time. The Bears did it with Ryan Poles. The Vikings did it with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. You've proven nothing, and yet, you know, you get to the last year of the deal. Why not just let the guy go through the last year of his deal? Why not let that thing play out and then make your call? But teams never do that.
No. Yeah, we don't want a lame duck coach. We don't want a lame duck GM. Yeah. The beauty of lame ducks is that you take it to the very end and you get to see the whole movie. And if the guy still leaves because you should have signed him earlier, he's got to shrug your shoulders and go, there'll be other guys. We're old enough to have watched sports long enough all our life to have seen guys come and go and come and go. And we know the river's going to flow. The players and the coaches and the GMs, they all come and go. Some are better than others. Some you'd like to keep, but shit happens. And in the NFL, these executives, they run hot and cold. They look like geniuses for a couple year stretch, and then they're dog shit. Or they get fired for reasons that are hard to even understand. You have this guy, Diamond, I believe, for the Vikings, who had won. Yeah. Jeff Diamond, right? Jeff Diamond was the executive of the year.
This and remember this.
Yeah, because he was the executive of the year. Next year, fired. Next year. The fuck?
That fast.
Yeah.
That fast. Now, you've done, I'm sure this has happened to you as it has with me. Early in your broadcast career, in comes like a head coach and a general manager. And you're like, oh, wow, head coach, general managers. You outlasted them all. And at some point you're like, I'm going to stay at my job longer than you are, head coach. You are general manager. I've seen you guys come and go.
Yeah.
You're going to be here longer than they're going to be in their jobs.
And some guys in media, depending on the station, depending on the market, depending on the perch, have way more influence than others in the media. The one I can think of most recently or most acutely is Mike Francesa. Doesn't matter that Mike Francesa is a blowhard and got a lot of shit wrong and his ego was the size of Jupiter. Here he was on WFAN afternoons with Mad Dog, and he was able to preside over his opinions of what each coach on the Jets and the Giants were doing right or wrong for 25 years. And he's the one that gets other media members whipped up and riled up in a frenzy and fans whipped up and riled up into a frenzy. That guy, and there's a lesser number of guys around the country who have been, like Tony Grossi in Cleveland, he's been at that station long enough that he's got sway. But you're right. At some point, you look at all these coaches come and go. I mean, shit, Andy and I in D.C., we saw the whole cavalcade from Norv and his milquetoast indecisiveness to old school Marty, who was all Johnny Tough Guy. To Spurrier, who would watch practice from indoors at Redskin Park when it rained and let Marvin Lewis actually run it outside in the rain. That was a real verified that? Spurrier did.
Wow.
Yeah, nah, not a good day to be out there for the old ball coach. I'm going to let Marvin do this one here. I'll let him take over. To then Gibbs the second time around. And the seediness of what it took to lure him back out of racing, money, and promise of a third NASCAR team sponsored by FedEx with the CEO of FedEx, Fred Smith, and his name on the stadium. Because having a third car in NASCAR was a huge advantage to any team owner. Team owners like Gibbs, Joe Gibbs Racing, no matter how successful they've been, if they've won big races like Daytona, which he had before, you need mass of cars for that momentum and the money to feed the beast. Well, they said, if you come back and coach, we'll give you a third team. And he said, ooh, why, I just suddenly found my desire to draw up some plays after being out for a long time. And of course, he left early and they got caught flat-footed. Then they hired Zorn. Zorn was supposed to be a coordinator only. He was one of the most disastrous hires. Then they went and they gave the whole store to Shanny. Shanny was an arrogant disaster and tried to meld things his way. I mean, Andy and I watched all of it. And the funny thing is, when you're in sports radio, you're adjudicating and you're debating the littlest of quotes and news stories and everything every day. It's funny. So.
It is. It is funny. And there's some, you know, there's some perspective you get when you do this long enough that these coaches, a lot of them just aren't that special and they're going to come and go. They seem special in the moment. They seem important in the moment.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is why I'm waiting for college. When is the first major college going to say, yeah, we're hiring this assistant that nobody's heard of, but we interviewed him. We had talked to other people around football. He's a real high energy, motivational, innovative guy, and we're paying him a reasonable salary, like $6 million a year, and it's a three-year deal. And we'll see what it looks like after 3 years. And if he wins in year one, we're not going to back up the Brinks truck and say, oh, here's here's a 10-year extension for $70 million all guaranteed. No. If we lose this kid, this young guy, because he's that good, we lose him. We'll find another one. I'm waiting. Will a school ever do it?
It's not always that easy. You know, at the University of Minnesota, I think we've re-upped our coach I think he's on his third deal because
old row the
he's
boat.
Able to get just to competence, right? Where you can be like the 40th best team in the country.
Yeah.
And that's good enough that now everybody in Minnesota's like, oh my God, he's going to leave. He's going to leave. He's going to leave. Here's more money, money. Oh, please don't leave us.
Yeah.
It's all it takes.
And you know what it is?
Yeah.
You know what it is in college? It's commitment to the program. It's commitment to the enterprise. And that's at every level, starting with the money, on down to facilities, coaching staff, salaries. Show that you're committed. And if you are, then you're going to have a chance to swim with the big boys. But, man, the waters are deep and the sharks are big. And schools like LSU, they don't blink when it comes time. They're like, we got to get this fake accent dipshit out of here. Boom. Gone.
$50 million to unbelievable.
Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. The Rodgers private jersey swap was an interesting note from Monday night's game between him and Jordan Love. You've got some thoughts on Jordan Love's game on Monday night. I'll let you get those off. But the two of them were expected to swap jerseys at the end of the game, which would have been iconic and obvious. Like, yeah. They did not do it on the field. They did it in private. Somebody said, and I think they're correct, you know goddamn well, if Rodgers had won, jersey's off and he's ready
right there
to swap them out right there. Because in a way, that jersey swap, at least if you're quarterback, it's like a defeated general handing over his sword in defeat, even though it's not meant as such. It's meant as a gesture of respect. Soccer players or football players have been exchanging jerseys or kits forever. And that's the thing. And if you're, if you're a really high-level player, either in the NFL or otherwise, the number of game-worn, verifiable jerseys of high-profile players you have, the better. I remember somebody in the NFL said they got some quarterback's jersey, and people were stunned, like, how'd you get that? And he goes, I just asked. I think it was like some scrub lineman got one of Brady's game-worns in a post-game
swap. No way. He just went up to Brady after the game and just said, would you mind taking your shirt off?
Texters or listeners, email me if you know this story. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that one rather scrub player just said, I'm going to shoot my shot. And he went up to this like real star player or quarterback and like, hey man, I'd love to swap jerseys with you. He might've made up a BS story. Like my kid says you're his favorite player, please. And he got the jersey. But yeah, those are cool. And it's cool because the teams control so fucking tightly those jerseys that are game worn. They don't let them out. You don't just get to take them home. Like, all right, have a new one for me next week. They're like, no. Where's the jersey? We got it. Okay. We're going to count for it. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a chip in the jersey. Like there's chips in the footballs. Did you know that the guy who got the football that missed the net in that one game had to give it back because it had a chip in it and they replaced it with a other ball that didn't?
Are you talking about the guy who got the ball and then tucked it under his shirt and ran up the stairs and ran away with the ball? He gave up his first row seats so that he could keep the ball. He didn't want to give it up, so he ran out of the stadium, which I thought was pretty funny. But then they can track you with the chip, I suppose.
And apparently they found him and they ended up swapping it out for a different ball that didn't have the chip in it. As if the chip has proprietary information in it. God, this league is something else. How about the fact that in your game Thursday, Al Michaels had to say on air that, oh, by the way, the NFL is saying that that ball by Reichert did not hit the wire in London. It was an optical illusion.
The Ministry of Truth has weighed in on Al Michaels and made him retract when he said something that we all know to be true. Everybody can see with their own two eyes.
No. The NFL. You're wrong. It was an optical illusion. Your eyes did not see what you think they saw. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi. No, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Okay. God, this fucking league is amazing sometimes. And did somebody say that Reichert hit another wire in that game Thursday?
There are people claiming that he's only missed two kicks all year, and the first one hit the wire, and the second one may have also hit the wire. He came up short on like a 51-yarder, which is not like him. But there are people that think that may have happened as well, but the league will certainly never substantiate.
By the way, on the short 51-yarder, was that at the end of the half in a hurry up where you couldn't?
Yeah, it may have been. And that might have been a contributing factor.
Do you know why? Because it's the K-ball. Mr. X earlier in the week said, this is why the kick in the Ravens game from Cairo Santos from 52 came up short. It's because they didn't swap in the K-ball. Didn't have time. It was like First down,
right.
Spot the ball, run up, hurricane drill, clock is running, tick, 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 tick. So these K-balls might well be pumped up absolutely to 2X, the recommended PSI.
I remember when the K-ball was thought to be a negative, that it was supposed to make it harder for kickers because
it was
like you couldn't pre-soften the ball and you couldn't scuff the ball so you could get a little more purchase on the ball. They're these pristine balls that were supposed to be slipperier and harder to kick. But there is this, you know, now that people are knocking in 60 yarders like they used to knock in 50 yarders, this is it's fair to wonder what's going on with the balls. Have we just gotten that much better?
Well, you know, they changed the rules on prep for the K-ball. This was chronicled by Brett Coleman's. I think I'm saying his name right. He's an up-and-coming YouTuber who's got something called the Bootleg Football Podcast. And he highlighted this about the kicking, that they now let the equipment slappies have the K-ball for up to a week prior to the game.
Oh, man. So they can do whatever they want to the ball?
Well, within reason. The referees still have to check it out and make sure there's nothing that's been completely monkeyed with. But they used to only get 4 hours on game day to prep them.
I don't know what's going on. If you put, Zabe, if you replaced the oxygen with helium, no.
What has Mythbusters tried that to see how far they would fly?
Would it actually change the ball? I don't know, but I like that. I do like that idea. And while we're talking about chipped balls and the NFL being a nefarious, potentially nefarious group with some things, why does it take the 30 seconds late?
Hold on a second. Reboot that because I had a glitch in my computer. Go.
Okay. Why does it take the NFL 30 seconds to calculate the virtual measurement? God. The virtual measurement should be happening in real time. You know, I tweeted this. Gronk can explain quantum mechanics in 1 second. They are chipping the ball.
I know.
Why do they need...
I know.
What is happening in those 30 seconds with the virtual measurement? That is super
You know
suspicious.
What's happening? League fuckery. That's what's happening.
Feels that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't it feel that way?
The
chain gang had accountability, right? We had only the chains were exactly so many links long. You could see exactly where they started the chain gang at point X. And then they would drag the other half of the chains.
Charge,
out.
And don't you could get
see
me started.
That they're taught and they're, you don't know, get that me was, there was.
I've argued this. Thing. I've argued this against otherwise seemingly smart people for way too long. They're dumb. They think that something that's low tech is inaccurate. Some of the most low tech things are the most accurate measuring devices. Like if you are, if you're like a crab fisherman in the Bay Area and in the DC area, a blue crab has to be 6 inches point to point in order to be a keeper. Otherwise, you got to throw them back by state law. You know how they measure that? Sure. Not with a fucking laser. They've got this piece of wood that they've cut a notch 6 inches,
yeah.
And they grab it by the handle, and they just go, yoink, okay, good, yoink, no good. See, the same thing on Deadliest Catch. It's low-tech but accurate every time. That's what the chains were. But now people are like, oh, this is dumb. Well, yeah, it was dumb to begin with because the spot is the subjective part of it. So, All right, before we leave, I've got a list of low-level gripes that I got to get off my chest. I want to hear your thoughts on my low-level gripes. These are things that probably only matter to me, but boy, do they trigger the shit out of me. You ready?
I love this, and I will give you the thumbs up or thumbs down on whether you are alone or we are in lockstep with these grievances.
I am thoroughly triggered by the athletes wearing colored shoes that are wildly out of step with the team colorway that they are on. Shoes.
So you want women to get breast cancer is what you're trying to say.
No, but there were NFL players that had purple and fuchsia cleats and it didn't match anything. And I'm like, God, that offends my uniform and color matchy match sensibility. And the NBA is even worse.
NBA. Because they're the culprit.
Yep, the NBA says wear whatever shoes you want, whatever colorway you want. They should limit the colorways, but the players argued, well, this isn't the colorway is an important part of the shoe brand and selling this particular shoe and who I am and what we've chosen as our color. You can't restrict our color. So the NBA being pussy said, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, things that for the money. They followed the money.
Things that bother me, maybe only me. The continued wild success of Kevin Hart, who is just not funny. Things that maybe only bother me. Tiger Woods insisting still that he once won the Grand Slam because he won 3 in 1 year and a 4th the next year. Maybe it's just me.
Got to do it in a year.
Maybe it's just me, but I'm becoming increasingly frustrated with the widespread unavailability of M&M's caramel in the purple bag or the dark blue bag. I go into convenience stores, as fat people do, and I look at the candy aisle, as they do, and I go, what did the M&M's rep do to piss off this store owner? They've got two flavors of M&M's on the shelf, and I know there's about 9 of them out there they could probably stock, and the best M&M ever created, the caramel, not in here. I've seen it at numerous stores. It's driving me crazy. Makes me want to be an M&M. Makes me want to be an M&M Mars rep and go into these little bodegas and say, you ought to carry some of this. Hey, have you tried the new M&M's peanut? Check it out.
I am on the other side of this. I am the guy looking for the bag of dark chocolate peanut M&M's.
Ooh.
That combo is so hard to find. It does exist, and it is delicious.
Okay,
but you know what's always on the shelf instead? Freaking caramel.
Okay,
I don't need the caramel. I want the dark chocolate peanut. Stop putting the caramel on my shelf.
I am so increasingly frustrated by Google Maps suggesting wildly slower routes in their navigation, unprompted. 13 minutes slower. Yeah? What, do you think I got 13 minutes I'm trying to kill? Have you noticed this? What are you doing, Google Maps? And of course, I'm increasingly frustrated by drivers' inability to see your turn signal saying, I need to get over. Not tomorrow, not in a minute, not after you pass. Like, I need to get over now. My exit's coming up. I know you have to be paying attention to see me. You're not slowing down at all. What is your fucking problem? But other than that, I'm fine, Charge. How about you?
That's not, by the way, that's not a bad life you're leading. If these are the things that are bothering you, I hate the old first world problems thing that people throw in your face every time you try to mention stuff like this.
First world problems.
And they come at you.
I admit it. These are niggling little nagging things that may or may not only be pissing me off. All right.
Next week, I want to tell you the story of Wolfpack. It's a fascinating story.
The what of what now?
Wolfpack is a wildly successful band that has an origin story that has to be heard to be believed.
Wolfpack.
It's German for Wolfpack.
Oh, it's German for Wolfpack. All right. Fantasy Football Weekly, best damn fantasy football show and podcast anywhere. One of the OGs with very talented, dedicated fantasy football writers and players. They can't pick survivor pool games to save their ass, but they can definitely give you some good fantasy advice. Right, Church?
That's exactly how I see it. Fantasy Football Weekly, we encourage you to check that out, at least for the next 3 weeks.
All right, Utah boy, we'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait.
See ya.
Wolfpack next week. Bye-bye.
He ain't gonna let those two escape justice. He makes his living off of the day. They got the money, hey, you know they got away. They hit it.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.